Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Not Your Mother's Postpartum Book, Normalizing Post-Baby Mental Health Struggles, Navigating Hashtag Mom Life, and Finding Strength Amid the Chaos. By Caitlin Slovins, BAACS, MC, R-Psych, and Chelsea Bodie, BSc, MACP, R-Psych. Narrated by Emily Durante. Introduction. The mom who stands over her baby's bassinet at night to make sure she is still breathing. The mom who tells her partner, "I just don't feel like myself." The parents who look at each other after their baby is born, thinking, "What did we do? We were not expecting this." The mom sitting alone in the NICU hospital room, asking herself, "What did I do wrong?" The mom who is so terrified to experience birth trauma again that she decides not to expand the family she always wanted. The dad looking at his new baby, feeling paralyzed with anxiety and unable to help his partner. This book is for all of you. We see you, parents. We were these parents. We are here for you. As two registered psychologist moms, we came together in 2020 to form an Instagram page related to motherhood and maternal mental health. 700 posts, countless guests, podcasts, interviews, and over 278,000 followers and growing later, we are excited to put our hard work and our firsthand discussion with postpartum parents into a workbook that is relatable, practical, backed by research, and accessible to parents. Our experience in the world of postpartum mental health began when we each decided to start a family. Given our background and training, we felt we were both fairly resourced people, but our individual experiences with pregnancy, birth, and the NICU rocked our worlds. This led us to take a deeper dive into the resources and material available for postpartum mothers, and we found that it lacked a very specific type of resource, one that encompasses maternal mental health and that does not solely focus on postpartum depression. What we have heard from postpartum mothers around the world is that there is so much more to the fourth trimester beyond postpartum depression. Advancements have finally begun to shed light on postpartum mental health. But when Caitlin was a new mom in 2017, grappling with what likely would have been diagnosed as postpartum anxiety, she struggled to find information that felt right for her. The information she searched was not backed by sound research, and the material felt outdated and distant, not written by moms who are currently experiencing what motherhood is like in this generation. She desperately needed a resource that addressed the topics of motherhood that are often not talked about: the anxiety, intrusive thoughts, stress of breastfeeding, social media comparisons, and overwhelming guilt and shame that go along with the expectations of motherhood. Our hope is that this book fills that void by providing real, honest, and raw insights into motherhood in a non-judgmental way. Additionally, it is our hope that this book reaches the new mom who is wondering if these feelings are normal, the seasoned mom who is still traumatized from the birth experience she never expected, and the expectant mom who wants to prepare for the postpartum period and learn how to say no to boundary violators. There is an overload of online information available to parents, and we know firsthand that this overabundance of information can lead down a deep, dark rabbit hole, often fueling feelings of anxiety, shame, and inadequacy. We have come together to provide information that is sound, reputable, evidence-based, and provided by moms who are not only mental health professionals, but who also are in the thick of it, who have lived through what we write about. The entry into motherhood is met with fatigue as parents juggle multiple appointments, and therapy can often fall to the wayside. We hope that the practical and relatable aspect of this book can reach new moms and give them the skills and tools to thrive during this period. We also invite parents to follow us on our Instagram page, @mamapsychologists, and become part of our community. Our goal is for everyone who comes in contact with us to feel less alone on the journey of motherhood. Whom this book is for. This book is intended for two audiences. The first is parents, especially mothers, in the perinatal period, which is an all-encompassing term that refers to the period of time that starts at pregnancy and extends up to 12 months postpartum. However, we recognize that there are many parents who have not healed in that time frame. Therefore, this book is also for all parents who are struggling with postpartum mental health disorders, birth trauma, or the challenges of motherhood. This audience is intentionally very broad because it is our hope that this book will cover as many issues as possible that parents face. We want any parent who picks up our book to flip through it and think, "This is it. This is what I need right now." The second audience is healthcare professionals who support parents in the postpartum period. We have heard from many parents, mothers in particular, who have felt like their experience has not been listened to or validated by their healthcare providers. Our hope with this book is that every therapist or health professional who reads it will use it as a reference when looking for symptoms of postpartum mental health disorders, for examples of how to work through the many myths of motherhood, and as a starting point when seeing women with birth trauma. For mental health professionals in particular, this book will provide several unique exercises that they can work through with their clients, including trauma-informed interventions that are both body-centered and cognition-centered, as well as psychoeducational talking points. These exercises can be done either in session or assigned as homework between sessions. When used in a group setting, our intention is that each different chapter can be a topic for discussion, with exercises serving as an important addition to therapeutic support. What is in this book? In this book, we will take a deep dive into the expectations and myths of motherhood, as well as issues surrounding mom guilt and the familiar shame of being a parent. We will explore a variety of postpartum mental health concerns, including anxiety, depression, obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, and birth trauma. We will further explore the stress and anxiety in areas like feeding, sleeping, and navigating relationships. We will focus a large portion on coping with birth trauma and negative thoughts, as well as how to build your support system. To address these topics, you will find that we integrate a variety of therapeutic tools throughout this book, including those that borrow from the fields of mindfulness, cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, somatic psychology, relational therapy, and eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR, therapy. These methods will provide you with quick coping skills you can add into your day-to-day routine to feel more grounded and emotionally centered. You'll also find tips to help you explore how your thoughts impact your mood and behavior, as well as tools to recognize the warning signs that you are becoming triggered or overwhelmed. Finally, you'll learn strategies to manage any challenging family or interpersonal dynamics that arise on your journey through motherhood. There is no right way to approach this book. You can start at the beginning or jump right to whatever need is the hungriest. Start wherever feels right for you or on whatever topics you feel would help you navigate motherhood the best. Mom life feels hard because it is hard. You are not your symptoms or your thoughts. There is hope, and we are here to give it to you. My birth experience wasn't as bad as blank. I am sure this is how everyone feels after their birth experience. It could have been so much worse than it was. But I have my beautiful baby. I shouldn't feel the way that I do. Shouldn't I just be over it by now? I don't even know what to call my birthing experience, but I just knew I wasn't okay. 1. Birth trauma. If you have ever thought some of these things to yourself, you are not alone. Some of the most frequent questions we hear relate back to the birth experience and the trauma that can surround it. You might be wondering what exactly birth trauma is, or how you even know if you've experienced it. It can feel like such a big and daunting question. Our goal for this chapter is to provide you with the opportunity to explore what birth trauma is, how it can present, and the ways to support yourself if you are working to heal from it. What is birth trauma? Birth trauma refers to any experience during the labor process where the mother or the child's life is in actual danger or is perceived to be in danger. This is an experience that can be traumatic for you and your partner. Some factors that make birth trauma more likely include medical complications during pregnancy and birth, premature birth, NICU stay, previous trauma, baby requiring treatment by professionals after birth, stillbirth, lengthy or painful labor, unexpected change in birth plan, need for medical intervention during labor, previous pregnancy loss or miscarriage, infertility. Maybe you had planned for a home birth and ended up needing an emergency C-section at the hospital. Maybe you had a preterm baby who needed to spend time in the NICU. Maybe you didn't feel respected or heard by medical professionals. Maybe you had suffered through previous miscarriages or pregnancy loss and giving birth was terrifying. Maybe your baby stopped breathing during labor and you feared for their life. Or maybe you hemorrhaged and feared for your own life. Whatever level of birth trauma you experienced, we believe it matters and should be honored. We can turn the common phrase a little, saying, trauma is in the eye of the beholder, and as far as we are concerned, this sentiment could not be truer. To allow us the opportunity to conceptualize what birth trauma can look like, let us share with you Chelsea's own experiences. I honestly have mixed feelings about my birth experience. From an outside perspective, it was truly traumatic. I went into spontaneous preterm labor in the middle of the night at 27 weeks and 5 days pregnant. There was no anticipation, no preparation, and a lot of chaos. We were 2.5 hours away from the nearest hospital with a level 3 NICU, which is where my son needed to be, and I was no longer in a place to be transported at 5 centimeters dilated. I remember the fear, the chaos, the tears, and the uncertainty that hung in the air. My doctor looked my husband and me in the eye and said, "We don't know what is going to happen or what the baby will look like." It almost felt like she was telling us to hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. We waited for labor to progress, trying to slow it down long enough for the neonatal trauma transport team to arrive. Time felt slow and fast, all at the same time. I truly feel like there were a lot of traumas throughout the experience. However, I felt so respected and supported during my labor process that I felt some of my well-being was protected through that. Sometimes it can take some time to know whether birth trauma was a part of your experience. So if you're unable to realize it or reflect on it right away, that is okay. There is no time frame for this understanding. However, there are a few hallmark signs and symptoms of birth trauma provided here. You'll notice that we've also included some more positive emotions that can arise as part of birth trauma, as you can have a mixture of both positive and challenging emotions. A common misconception is that the entire birth experience must be viewed as traumatic or else it doesn't count as trauma. This is simply not true. There can be moments of your birth experience that you feel content with or even positive about. Other aspects you might not remember so fondly. This is natural and normal. These experiences can coexist together. Signs and symptoms of birth trauma. Identify the experiences that you feel apply to your situation. There is no right way to think or feel when processing your birth experience. Make sure to note any additional feelings or concerns that we may not have covered. Insomnia. Flashbacks or nightmares of the birthing experience. Feeling a sense of unreality or detachment. Avoidance of previously enjoyed activities. Avoidance of social interactions. Feeling on edge. Anxiety. Depression. Feelings of failure. Difficulty with decision making. Feelings of grief or loss. Gratitude or gratefulness for your baby, your health, or certain parts of birth experience. Physical difficulties related to recovery. A change in future family planning goals. Relationship difficulties. Shame or guilt. Relief. Exhaustion. Difficulty connecting with the baby. Other, fill in the blank. Other, fill in the blank. Your birth experience. If it feels safe and comfortable to do so, we invite you to take a moment to dig deeper and reflect on additional aspects of your birth experience. If this feels too uncomfortable, it is more than okay to skip this part. If you see a therapist and want to do this activity during a session, that can be helpful for some people. Proceed in whatever way feels best for you, as we know this is an extremely challenging topic. When you think back to your birth experience, what emotions come up? As you reflect on your birth experience, do any memories seem stuck, feel difficult to think about, or cause an unexpected emotional reaction? When you think back to your birth experience, what sensations did you notice in your body? Do you find yourself being triggered by certain situations, events, or people related to your birth experience? For example, do you have difficulties discussing your birth experience, being around someone who is pregnant or has a newborn, or going to doctor's appointments? Are there aspects of the birth experience that you wish you could change? Are there any aspects that you feel grateful for? But I had a typical birth. Why do I feel this way? You can have a positive outcome. In other words, you can take home a happy and healthy baby and still feel like your birth experience was negative. People are often told, "Well, you have a healthy baby. Why do you feel that way?" Or, "You should be grateful that you have a baby." However, just because you're grateful that you have a healthy baby doesn't mean that you can't grieve or be affected by your birth experience. You can feel two seemingly conflicting emotions, and that is perfectly normal. There are so many different scenarios that can lead to a traumatic birth experience that it will be a really individualized experience. That's where the previous reflection questions become important. It will allow you the opportunity to explore how you feel about the experience, because that's what matters. Can I prevent it? Unfortunately, there is no magic pill or method that will prevent birth trauma. Often, part of the problem is that it is a highly unexpected experience. Just as you cannot prevent it, you also cannot fully predict it. All that being said, there are some things we recommend doing during pregnancy to help you prepare. Start working with a therapist early on if this resource is available to you. Therapists who have been trained to work with trauma, especially birth trauma, will be able to support you in exploring, processing, and gaining the tools you need to begin moving through your healing journey. Write down any questions or concerns that you may have about the birthing experience and discuss these with your birth support team, including your OBGYN, doula, or midwife. This is especially helpful if you experienced birth trauma with a previous child and are trying to conceive again. While it is often most helpful to discuss these concerns during pregnancy, you can also do so during the postpartum period. Asking a professional any questions you may have about what happened during the birthing experience, including why it happened, may help provide comfort or clarity. Create a postpartum coping plan, which can provide you with a template of resources and coping strategies that you can keep on hand. This can relieve some of the pressure of trying to find ways to cope when you are in the thick of the postpartum period. It also provides you an opportunity to understand some warning signs of perinatal mood disorders that you or your partner can look out for. If you have your heart set on creating a birth plan, create a list of flexible birth preferences that outlines your desires for the birthing experience, but also explores alternative options for what could happen. We like the term birth preferences, as there can be a lot of meaning behind the word plan. Having some flexibility in what can happen during the birthing process can be a protective factor in managing the unexpected. Exercise. Flexible birth preferences. Consider your preferences and wishes for the labor and delivery process. Make a plan and keep it in mind when you go to appointments so you can discuss options, concerns, and questions you may have about the birth experience. Birth location. I would like to deliver at home, at this hospital or birthing center. During labor, I would like these members of my support team to be present during the labor and delivery process. I would like dim lighting, music playing, to eat and drink if my provider allows it, as few vaginal exams as possible, as few interruptions as possible, to wear my own clothing, for my partner to photograph or film the experience. Pain management, epidural, acupuncture, acupressure, breathing exercises, massages, whatever my doctor suggests at the time. No pain management unless I request it. During delivery, I would prefer the delivery planned as a vaginal birth, C-section, vaginal delivery after previous C-section, VBAC, water birth. Delivery position and props. Squatting, on hands and knees, lying down, standing, birth tub, birth ball, birthing stool or chair. In case of a C-section, if circumstances do not allow for a vaginal birth, I would prefer a second opinion, a mirror to see the baby come out, the drapes to be lowered, to remain conscious, at least one of my arms to remain free. After delivery, delayed cord clamping. Allow my partner to cut the umbilical cord. Keep the placenta. Access to a shower. Newborn care. Breastfeed as soon as possible. Bottle feed. Formula feed. Have immediate skin-to-skin contact. Have the baby be wiped clean before holding it. Of the choices you didn't identify with, what would you be open to if circumstances do not allow for your preferences to be upheld? What additional questions or concerns do you have? What other information would you like to know about? What can I do? If you have experienced birth trauma, it is important to let your medical provider or birth support team know that there are things you are struggling with. We recommend reaching out to a trained perinatal therapist or a therapist who has experience working with birth trauma. In addition, the upcoming sections provide a few specific tools and exercises you can use to help you process your birth experience. These strategies are not intended to replace any recommendations of a health professional, but they can help you honor your story, reconnect with your body, and become aware of your triggers. Exercise. Affirmations. Affirmations are positive, supportive, and encouraging statements that can help you acknowledge your experience, challenge any negative and intrusive thoughts, and calm your mind. We also like to call them mama mantras. Here are a few affirmations that we recommend for birth trauma. Take some time to consider them. You can even say them out loud and write down the ones that feel right to you. Please take what works for you, leave what doesn't, and adapt any of the statements to fit your own experience better. May I be kind to myself. May I find the strength I need. There is no right way to heal. It is not my fault. May I find the support I need. I am allowed to feel disappointed. That does not make me ungrateful. My struggle and story are valid. I am allowed to grieve my birth experience. There is no right way to grieve. There is no timeline for my grief. I can care for myself and my body so it may heal. I am strong. Exercise. Find your calm place. One way to find a sense of calm in the midst of a difficult time is to create a peaceful, courageous, or safe place in your mind. It is a great tool to settle your nervous system when you are having a hard time coping or when you remember a difficult experience in your life. Think of a place that you find very calming. It can be a place you've been to before, a place you've seen only in pictures, or any place you can imagine. Some people visualize being in the mountains, by a body of water, in their backyard, or on their couch with a loved one. There are no right or wrong answers. It just needs to feel calming to you. Describe your calm place in a sentence or drawing. As you think about this calm place, take a few moments to notice what you see, hear, smell, and feel. Just notice this. Pay attention to your breath. Take deep breaths in and out. See how these calming moments have changed how you envision your calm place. Describe your calm place once more in a sentence or drawing. Continue to focus on your calm place, imagining it with your five senses in even brighter and more vivid detail. Feel it more deeply in your body. Then think of a word or phrase that will help remind you of your calm place and say this word or phrase to yourself as you keep focusing on the sights, smells, sounds, and feelings in your body. Keep your cue phrase in mind or write it down. Now try adding some bilateral stimulation by tapping on your knees in an alternating pattern as you hold this cue word or phrase in your mind. The tapping motions help activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for rest and relaxation. Continue tapping on your knees, alternating right and left, for approximately 6 to 8 taps. Whenever you are feeling anxious, visit your calm place, bring your cue word or phrase to mind, and do some alternating taps on your knees. Exercise. Finding your container. The container exercise is a helpful tool you can use whenever you need a place to temporarily contain or place any difficult thoughts, feelings, or memories. It can create a bit of space from whatever is bothering you until you can put in the time and energy needed to address it at a later date. To start, bring to mind some sort of a container that can hold whatever is troubling you. Your container can be a room, a plastic storage bin, a drawer, or a treasure chest, anything big and strong enough to hold whatever you need it to in this moment. Describe your container in a sentence or drawing. Now imagine putting all the thoughts, feelings, sensations, smells, or sounds that need to go in there. Take a couple of deep breaths. Is there anything else that needs to be placed in the container? If so, write or draw it. Then imagine securely closing the container and putting it back where it belongs. Maybe you place it on a shelf, send it out to sea, or close the door to the room. How do you feel now? Take a few moments to write or draw how you are feeling. Take a few more deep breaths. Know that whatever is distressing you is held securely in this container until you feel ready to handle it. Exercise. 5-4-3-2-1 grounding.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?